as we spend time around the Word of God together. Just to give you some announcements before we come to read the Word of God, we will have our meetings this week, Wednesday at 7 p.m. as we continue our studies through the book of Acts, and you're welcome to join us online for that. And we'll upload a sermon on Thursday at 1 p.m. For you to listen to that as well. Next Sunday morning, we'll be meeting in person. But in order to do so, please register, let us know that you're coming, so we know everybody who's going to be there and make suitable arrangements. And we'll have our evening service like this at 6:30 p.m. Well, let's turn in the Word of God. First of all, I'd like to turn to Isaiah chapter 11. Isaiah chapter 11, and reading from verse 1, where we read these words. And there shall come forth a rod out of the stem of Jesse, and a branch shall grow out of his roots, and the Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him, the Spirit of wisdom and understanding, the Spirit of counsel and might, the Spirit of knowledge and of the fear of the Lord, and shall make him of quick understanding in the fear of the Lord. And he shall not judge after the sight of his eyes, neither reprove after the hearing of his ears, but with righteousness shall he judge the poor, and reprove with equity for the meek of the earth. He shall smite the earth with the rod of his mouth, and with the breath of his lips shall he slay the wicked. The righteous shall be the girdle of his loins, and faithfulness the girdle of his reins. The wolf also shall dwell with the lamb, and the leopard shall lie down with the kid, and the calf and the young lion and the fatling together, and the little child shall lead them. And the cow and the bear shall feed, their young ones shall lie down together, and the lion shall eat straw like the ox, and the sucking child shall play on the hole of the asp, and the weaned child shall put his hand on the cockatrice den. They shall not hurt nor destroy in all my holy mountain, for the earth shall be full of the knowledge of the Lord, as the waters cover the sea. And in that day there shall be a root of Jesse, which shall stand for an ensign of the people. To it shall the Gentiles seek, and his rest shall be glorious. And we trust the Lord will bless his word to us this evening. Then, before we come to the passage that I want to draw your attention to this evening, let's pray together once again. Lord Almighty God, we come humbly into thy presence. We confess that we are sinners, that we have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Of our own works, we have no right to stand in thy holy presence. And yet, dear Lord, we only come through the Redeemer that thou hast provided, the Lamb of God, the one who is the way, the truth, and the life, and no man cometh unto the Father but by him, the Lord Jesus Christ. We pray, dear Lord, that thou would be with each and every person in the congregation at this time. We think of those struggling with difficulty economically, or sickness, or discouragement, feeling alone. We pray thou would be especially close to them. Comfort them in their afflictions. Lift up their head, we pray. Help us as we seek to minister aright. We pray, dear Lord, too, for those who have rule over us. We pray that they may bring to pass righteous laws, things that are pleasing in thy sight. Oh, dear Lord, we pray that they would be granted a discernment at this particular time. We pray for the work of the church. We thank thee for the meetings we have, and we pray that they may all be restored soon. And thou would greatly bless those who we have fellowship with, and bless the ministry. We pray that thou will be pleased to bless the preaching of your word with unction from on high. We pray that each and every person who listens to this message, and may it may be useful for edifying, that they may grow in grace and knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. They may be strengthened, and that any unbeliever, thou would be pleased to convict them of their sin, that they may see Christ as the only remedy. Oh, bless us, we pray, in Christ's precious name. Amen. My dear friends, I want to draw your attention this evening to a well-known passage, not that passage we read in Isaiah chapter 11 just now, but Romans chapter 15. Romans chapter 15, and I'm going to read from the first, Romans 15 verse 1, so we can get the context. Romans chapter 15 verse 1. We then that are strong ought to bear the infirmities of the weak, and not to please ourselves. Let every one of us please his neighbour for his good to edification. For even Christ pleased not himself, but as it is written, the reproaches of them that reproach thee fell on me. For whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning, that we through patience and comfort of the scriptures might have hope. Now the God of patience and consolation grant you to be like-minded one toward another, according to Jesus Christ, that ye may with one mind and one mouth glorify God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Wherefore receive ye one another, as Christ also received us to the glory of God. Now I say that Jesus Christ was a minister of the circumcision for the truth of God, to confirm the promises made unto the fathers, and that the Gentiles might glorify God for his mercy, as it is written, for this cause I will confess to thee among the Gentiles, and sing unto thy name. And again he said, rejoice ye Gentiles with his people. And again, praise the Lord, all ye Gentiles, and laud him, all ye people. And again Isaiah saith, there shall be a root of Jesse, and he that shall rise to reign over the Gentiles, in him shall the Gentiles trust. Now the God of all hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, that you may abound in hope through the power of the Holy Ghost. May the Lord add his blessing to his holy and infallible word this evening. I want to draw your attention this evening to those last two verses there, where we read, now the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing. This is the last part of the letter. After this, Paul declares why he writes and issues greetings to those in chapter 16. He, in the preceding verses, is emphasizing that the believers here, whether they were Jew or Gentile, are to be of one mind and one spirit. And you see that from verse 4 to verse 12. But unity in what was written in the scriptures for their learning. And the scriptures were written for their learning, not just for enlarging their intellectual capacity, but as they understand the scriptures, they, through hope and comfort of the scriptures, might have hope. And so I want to pick up this statement that we find in verse 13 and examine it a little. God is described here as the God of hope, the God of hope. The verse starts with those words. And that is the first and foremost thing that I want to present to you this evening. The Bible presents a God of hope, a God who provides hope for all his people, all those who know the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior. Now, we're living in days, aren't we, where everybody is looking out of hope to a time when we can return to some normality of life and There are different ways in which it's been expressed to us that that will be returned, whether through mass testing, whether through vaccination and all these other things. But I want to talk about a hope that the Bible speaks of here, a hope for the believer. The God of the Bible says that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. And they're encapsulated in those very well-known verses in John 3, verse 15 to 17. We have that tremendous hope of eternal life through the only begotten Son, that we should not perish. We know we would not be condemned, but we would be justified and right before God. The gospel, as it's well known, is an expression of the term good news. And the reason why the message of the Bible is good news for us is because it gives hope. It gives hope to undeserving sinners, who Paul sets out at great length at the beginning of Romans, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And yet we read that we can still be justified, that is, declared not guilty in the sight of Almighty God, if we have true, genuine faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. And here in Romans 15, verse 13, he's reminding these believers that they have a God of hope, hope that won't perish, but that we can have confidence in. It's not like some promise being made by a fallible individual, dare I say it, a politician or a family member saying they're going to do a particular thing. No, this is the Almighty God of the whole universe. What he says comes to pass. You can see that over and over and over again in the scriptures, in the Old Testament and in the New Testament. This is a hope that won't perish, but it's one we can have confidence in as we anticipate, as we look to that time when we'll be with Christ for all eternity. It's one of maybe even the great message of the Bible, that this God of hope sent his Son to die on the cross, to shed his blood, that he would be treated as if he had committed those sins, even though he knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God through him. Let me think of a few more verses to establish the message that God has given in the Bible, in what we would term today as the gospel, as a message of hope. 1 Peter 1, verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. Now the sense there in that passage is this lively, living hope was established on the cross and payment for our sin, but also the verification, if you like, of Christ rising from the dead and crushing the power of death, that he might be the first fruits of all those who die in Christ, who one day will be raised up like him. What a hope we have. If we die in Christ, and we will be raised up one day in our resurrection bodies to be with Christ forevermore. Then we have 1 Corinthians verse 27, where Paul, writing to the believers at Colossae, says, to whom God would make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. Now this hope of glory is hope, of course, a certain hope of being saved, Christ in you, the union that the believer has and the indwelling spirit, as we have the hope of glory, that we might have this sure ground of confidence and an expectation of future spiritual blessedness. that even when we leave this world, we will be like Paul, which is to be with Christ, which is far better. We're no more suffering, pain, agony, but rejoicing for all eternity. The God of hope and the hope that is presented to us is one that is a living hope, as Christ, who was our Savior, didn't only die, but he rose from the dead. Furthermore, that living hope is in us as a hope of glory to come. There are some that offer a partial hope today. There are some that say, well, the work of God through Christ gets you so far, and you need to make up the rest. You need to do this or to that for your salvation. That's not the full hope that we find described in the verses I've just presented to you. The certain hope, the God of hope. And this is the great hope of the gospel. The atheist does not have such a hope. The atheist may say to us that we hope in this gospel and it's just a crutch for us to lean on. But as one person once said, it is indeed. But when I believe that crutch is the word of God and based on the word of the creator of this whole universe, I have a crutch that is strong enough to support a sure hope of eternity worshipping my Savior. End quote. The Christ of the scriptures is a historical fact. His gospel was not one that spread by aggression, but turned the world upside down in ancient times. So that to such a great extent that when the apostles in the end went to a new city, they would say, this is this group. These are these people that turned the world upside down. Despite it being outlawed by an emperor of the Roman Empire later, yet it stood strong, and such was its influence that it was taken up by an emperor, whether for good or for bad. I'll leave you to look into the history there, but embraced it as a state, a religion of that particular empire. We have a gospel of hope. Hope is a glorious grace, one writer says, whereunto blessed effects are ascribed in the scriptures, and an effectual operation unto the supportment and consolation of believers. John Owen also says, where Christ evidenceth his presence with us, he gives us an infallible hope of glory. He gives us an assured pledge of it, and worketh our souls into an expectation of it. We have a God of hope, who gives hope to his people, those who trust in him. And this hope is sure and secure because it's based on what God has done for us. Psalm 20, verse 6 to 8 says, now know I that the Lord saveth his anointed. He will hear him from his holy heaven and with the saving strength of his right hand. Some trust in chariots and some in horses. But we will remember the name of the Lord our God. They are brought down and fallen, but we are risen and stand upright. Of course, there it has the picture of some relying on the army military of the time of chariots and horses. But the psalmist was going to have his hope in the Lord. Now, in our text in Romans 15, verse 13, Paul goes on to say that this God of all hope, this God of all hope who brings us the glorious gospel that gives true hope of eternal salvation, he says, fill you with all joy and peace in believing. So we might say that joy and peace have a basis or an attachment to believing. And so my second point is hope in believing. Now, this joy and peace that is described here is probably something everybody in this whole world, this whole globe is after to some degree. The sane person is seeking joy in some fashion and peace in their heart as they go about their business. And this is something that believers can have in Christ. I want you to see this is the great comfort of believers that gives strength to go through great trials. That's why Paul reminds them just earlier to be one in unity and then to have this joy and hope. Let me give you an illustration that I read just recently. Suppose many people engaged on a voyage on the ship to a most remote country where all of them had an apprehension that there is a place of rest and an inheritance there waiting for them. Under this apprehension, they all put themselves upon their voyage to possess what is prepared. Howbeit, some of them have only a general notion of those things. They know nothing distinctly concerning them and are so busy about other affairs that they have no leisure to inquire into them. Or do you suppose that they cannot come to a satisfactory knowledge of them in particular, and so are content to go on with general hopes and general expectations? Others there are who, by all possible means, acquaint themselves particularly with the nature and climate whither they are going, with the excellency of the inheritance and provision that is made for them. Their voyage proves long and wearisome, their difficulties many, their dangers great, and they have nothing to relieve and encourage themselves with but the hope and expectation of the place whither they are going. Those of the first sort that I described will be very apt to despondency and faint. Their general hopes will not be enough to relieve them, but those who have a distinct notion and an apprehension of the state of things whither they are going and of the incomparable excellency have a readiness wherewith to cheer their minds and support themselves. End that illustration. Let me give you a quote from Hebrews 6, verse 19 to 20. Wherein God, willing more abundantly to show unto the heirs of promise the immutability of his counsel, confirmed it by an oath, that by two immutable things, in which it was impossible for God to lie, we might have a strong consolation, who have fled for refuge to lay hold upon the hope set before us, which hope we have as an anchor for the soul, both sure and steadfast, and which entereth within the veil, whither the forerunner is entered, even Jesus, made a high priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. Do you see here in that illustration, the Christian is given this comfort of everlasting life and being with Christ forevermore to bring comfort to us and joy and hope in believing as we go through the different stages of our lives, that we might have that sure and certain hope. We need to cultivate it. We need to engross ourselves in the Word of God as we follow the Lord. We need to remind ourselves of where we're going to, that might provide us with a great comfort. And so that's so important. One writer says few Christians labor after it, exercise themselves of it, or have the benefit of it, or to live by hope. They suppose infers a state not only beneath the life of faith and all assurance in believing, but also exclusive of them. They think to hope to be saved is a condition of men who have no grounds of faith or assurance. But this is to turn a blessed fruit of the Spirit into a common affection of nature. Gospel hope is a fruit of faith, trust, and confidence. Yea, the height of the actings of all grace issues in a well-grounded hope, nor can it rise any higher. End quote. We have a hope. Now the God of hope, and as we remind ourselves of the sure and certain hope that we have in Christ, it can give the believer a great joy and peace in believing, that we may abound in hope, that this might not just be something that is minuscule, but as we think about our salvation, of the mercy of God to us, how Almighty God has saved us and redeemed us, we might abound in our hope. But I praise God for this little additional part to this verse, through the power of the Holy Spirit. We have this hope and this joy and peace in believing through the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit works in us. As a believer grows in the Christian life, as we ourselves are engaged in reading the scriptures, in understanding more, in close communion with God, in prayer, we have the indwelling Spirit drawing us closer to Christ, giving us a greater sense of joy and peace in believing. And so we can draw great comfort of those occasions where our peace, we're struggling to find that peace or that joy, and we can seek the Lord, that the Lord might help us in that matter, because it is the Lord even working in us that can give us that hope, that peace, and that joy. Well, these are tremendous verses, dear friends, and in many ways they explain themselves, but I just wanted to mention this, because we're living in days, as I said at the outset, where other hopes that are going to get us out of restrictions, humanly speaking, are things we maybe anticipate and are excited for. Maybe you're excited for when you can go to a restaurant, if that's your particular thing. Or for us, we're excited when we'll be in the church next week, and when we're singing in due course, and all these sorts of things. But we, as Christians, we have a wonderful hope to look forward to be with Christ when the pain, the suffering, the taint of sin on our character and our lives is removed, and we'll be with him forevermore. May that distinct idea that is presented to us in the scriptures, that distinct truth, like those who are on that voyage, be that which helps us. Be like that anchor described in Hebrews 6, which is an anchor of the soul, both sure and steadfast, that we have a strong consolation. So I pray that I may have reminded you of the Christian's great hope, unshakable hope of salvation through Christ alone. Let's pray together. Dear Lord, Almighty God, we thank thee for thy word. How precious it is to us. Lord, so often the skies have darkened and we've turned our eyes away from the great hope that we have. And we've been so prone to be discouraged. Dear Lord, we pray that by the power of thy Holy Spirit, thou will work in us, help us to have all joy and peace in believing. Put the hope of the glorious gospel ever before our eyes. Remind us of the sure and steadfast nature of our salvation when the devil, our accuser, comes before us. And if any listening to this are hoping in anything outside of thee, the God of hope, that they may turn from their foolish ways, that they may know Christ alone as the way, the truth, and the life. Bless us and bless thy word to us. Take that which is good and useful for edifying. May it remain and abide in our hearts. In Christ's precious name. Amen. My dear friends, thank you for joining us this evening. We're going to conclude by singing a hymn, and we're going to sing Rejoice, a Believer in the Lord Who Makes Your Cause His Own. The hope that's built upon his word can never be overthrown. let's conclude. Now unto him that is of power to establish you according to my gospel and the preaching of Jesus Christ according to the revelation of the mystery which was kept secret since the world began, but now is made manifest, and by the scriptures of the prophets according to the commandment of the everlasting God, made known to all nations for the obedience of faith. To God only wise be glory through Jesus Christ forever. Amen. Thank you for joining us this evening, and continue to remember you all in prayer. Do let us know if you've had any prayer requests, and those who have sent them in, we continue to remember those individuals in prayer. And may the Lord be with you throughout this week.